This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Breaking news brought to you by BetQL. Mike Garofalo has reported that the Washington football team has agreed to terms on a 3-year extension for tight end Logan Thomas.
Nice. Valdez is fist pumping
after
over there.
Breakout year last year, 72 catches, 6 touchdowns, 30 years old. Of course, played quarterback at Virginia Tech in college, but he's switched over to tight end and he earned himself a 3-year extension with the Washington football team.
I know. That
now that's more free golf.
I know that Valdez is close with Logan and their BFFs, but if you go to the tape when they signed him, this guy right here said, "I'm excited about this signing because I knew his athleticism. We all saw him play, obviously, at Virginia Tech. You knew that, you know, if he could just get an opportunity, this guy right here, first on the bandwagon." And I remember JP mocking me, and I think Lurch possibly mocked me.
Yeah.
Now, Cakes is claiming that he was on that bandwagon, too. I don't think he was.
Oh, okay.
Just go to the tape.
You got him for 3 more years. Health pending, of course, but congrats congrats to Logan.
Seems like a great dude, and, you know, he produced when given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, do we have our guest on?
Believe we're going to be joined now by Elliot Shore Parks, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data and insights to sports books. Don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
So you're kind of an Eagles guy more, and let's start with kind of the rumors with Deshaun Watson. What is Philly right now like? Are they thinking about making a move for Deshaun Watson? Kind of fill us in there.
Yeah, the interest is real there on the Eagles' part. And I think there's, you know, at least a, I don't want to say a great chance, but I think a pretty good chance that ultimately when Deshaun Watson is moved, that he does end up with the Eagles. And obviously his off the field, you know, obviously the accusations against him, that's something the team is going to have to look into. They have a great security team. I'm sure they'll do a ton of research into it. And ultimately they're going to have to decide if they feel comfortable bringing him into the organization and making him the face of the franchise. If they feel comfortable with that, though, it's no surprise that they would have interest. This is a team that has put a ton of resource into the quarterback position over the last few years. They've talked at length about how important the position is to them. And look, Deshaun Watson is a talented quarterback. So if they feel comfortable morally, and that's a big part of it, but if they feel comfortable, I do think that, you know, there's a chance that they'll make a move for him. They have the picks, they have the assets, and they have the need if they don't believe in Jalen Hurts.
Are there any other teams that make sense for a potential deal?
Yeah, I think if it's not going to be the Eagles, it's going to be the Dolphins, in my opinion. The Dolphins were on the list of teams initially that Deshaun Watson had interest in. Now, maybe things have changed considering all that's happened this offseason. I don't know if he can be as demanding as to where he goes, but Miami certainly, obviously they have Tua, but you know, he had a rocky rookie year, and I think we would all agree that that roster is pretty well set up to win right now. If you add Deshaun Watson to that team, that they're going to be in great shape. So I would keep an eye on them. And then obviously with the Aaron Rodgers development yesterday, I think the Broncos re-entered the fold. The Broncos had interest in Rodgers, but now that it seems he'll be staying in Green Bay for at least another year, certainly Denver is a team that maybe not as good as Miami, but kind of fits the same mold as being a quarterback away. So I would keep an eye on the Dolphins and the Broncos.
So let's rewind and focus on the NFC East. Obviously we're based in D.C., a lot of excitement for the Washington football team, particularly on the defensive side. They lock up Jonathan Allen yesterday. Questions at quarterback, but Let's talk about that Eagles team. There's not really great expectations there, and I'll be honest. When we saw that first press conference with your new head coach, we're like, really? What are people thinking about this team? Should they not make a move for Deshaun Watson?
And was that the reaction of the Philly fans when they saw the press conference?
Yeah, look, fans weren't impressed by that initial press conference. No denying that. I will say, in Nick Sirianni's defense, it was a bit of a weird setup, right? I mean, normally these introductory press conferences are done in front of a room full of people. You know, the media is there. You get to interact with him personally. This was done over a Zoom where he was pretty much alone in an empty auditorium, you know, due to COVID-19 protocol. So I don't know if that played a huge role in it. But ultimately, his introductory press conference doesn't really matter. You know, we'll see if he can coach, if he can scheme. He comes to the Eagles with, I think, a good resume. But you are right that, you know, the press conference did not go over well amongst the fans who were already skeptical. But I think after that press conference kind of went to another level.
I'm just still surprised that after unloading Wentz, and it just became weird with Wentz because he looked like he was going to be the guy just a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and that they're already willing to move on from Hurts. Like, I'm just...
They drafted high.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, why not give the kid a chance? I mean, listen, I think Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks when he's out there, but why would you be interested? I hate to just bring up this guy again. I know you just talked about him, but, you know, now there's alleging that there may 10 of these complaints may be criminal in the near future. I mean, it's just, yeah. I don't know why you would roll the dice with so much. I believe in innocent until proven guilty, but this just seems like a huge roll of the dice.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. If I were the Eagles, I wouldn't take Deshaun Watson almost for free at this point. I think it's too risky to attach the franchise to him. Honestly, I mean, look, let's say, and as you said, innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. At the same time, these women's accusations should be taken seriously. I think both can be true. But even if he moved past this, right? I mean, he's on thin ice with the league. If something else comes up, if he were to, you know, and hopefully he never does, but hopefully, you know, there's something else that happens with him off the field. He's looking at a long suspension. If he somehow avoids a suspension this time, which I don't think he will. So, you know, any team that acquires him is taking on a massive risk because it is going to cost a lot to trade for him. He does make a lot of money. And let's be honest, if you take this risk on him, you trade all those assets and you pay him all that money, he better be top five. Like, you don't go through all that for him to be, you know, the 10th best quarterback in the league. So the pressure on him would be astronomical if a team traded for him. And I don't think the risk is worth it.
Have they soured on Hurts? Like, have they not liked what they've seen work ethic wise?
Yeah. So the Hurts situation is obviously an interesting one. I could probably fill up your whole radio show talking about it. I mean, obviously when they took him in the second round, you know, they didn't say it outright, but they basically said, this is our backup, right? That's kind of how they viewed it. And, you know, we can all sit here and say, well, using a second round pick on a backup is absolutely foolish. And I would agree with you. And I think if any other team did it, we would say, well, clearly they don't like Carson. And now Carson's gone. But I just can't get a read on how much they actually like Hurts. I mean, I think he impressed them last year. I know one thing they do think about him is that he's improved year over year. I believe Hurts has said himself that, you know, he only really got coaching for the first time at Oklahoma, and you saw how much he improved there. And then obviously last year, a year in the NFL. So I don't think they don't like Hurts, but, you know, even with the off the field issues, again, we are talking about Deshaun Watson. You know, it's not like they're potentially moving on for him for Kirk Cousins or you know, something like that. So I do think the fact that it's Watson plays a role and doesn't really mean that they hate Hurts. It's just Watson is such a unique talent that, you know, it's something they're considering.
What about the fans though? The fans are notoriously vocal, right? You know, sports radio is huge there in Philadelphia. You know that very well. What has been sort of the fan perspective at this point? Are they all in on Deshaun? They just want the big time player, or are they more sort of team Hurts?
You know, I would say they're not as into Deshaun getting Deshaun Watson as I would expect. I think sometimes in this situation, you know, I don't want to label any fan base, but I think that, you know, fan bases can say, look, we just want the most talented guy. I will say that I think Eagles fans have not said that. I think that I've seen that they are concerned about these accusations. They don't feel comfortable about potentially having him on their team. And I do think there is a level of optimism with Jalen Hurts. I think the way the organization has painted Hurts as kind of a backup last year has kind of tainted a little bit the view. But, you mentioned sports radio. We have people call in all day and say they're very optimistic about what Jalen Hurts can do. So I think if Jeffrey Lurie were to take a poll and decide and let that decide what he does at quarterback, I think that Jalen Hurts would be the starter in week one.
Joined by Elliot Shore Parks, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider call is presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. So the big news in the NFL, I guess overnight, and really coming from last night, was that, hey, Aaron Rodgers is actually going to report to camp for the Green Bay Packers. It seems like most books, all books, have Tampa as the favorite. Green Bay's got to be right there if they just bring them all back, right?
I would think so, but I don't know if this is a situation that's going to end up being great for either the Packers or Rodgers. I mean, when you kind of know that you're moving on, I know people compare it to the Tom Brady situation in New England, but that wasn't as definitive as this seems to be. And it's also worth noting that the Patriots were pretty bad that year, right? I mean, they didn't win a playoff game. They weren't impressive during the regular season. So I agree the Packers have a ton of talent. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is really good. But I just think after going through all this, his teammates have to know somewhat that he's not truly committed deep down. I think it kind of has disaster written all over it. They're talented enough that clearly they'll be a playoff team, but I wouldn't bet money on them to win the Super Bowl.
Hmm. What's your take on kind of the pecking order of the NFC East? Considering some of the changes at quarterback and Washington making all those additions. Dak Prescott's coming back. Barkley's coming back for the Giants. What's the pecking order in your mind?
Well, I think the only clear cut is that the Giants are number four. I don't like the quarterback. The defense is the defense is good, but honestly, defense doesn't really win in today's NFL. And then their offensive line is terrible. And frankly, the Giants' defensive line isn't that great either. Leonard Williams is okay. So I think the Giants are a clear cut number four. And I think you could really put the other three teams almost anyway. I'd probably put Dallas one just because, that offense has the best potential in the division. Washington, obviously a team I know well. My skepticism with them is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I just can't take any team seriously that has Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starting quarterback. If he's your backup, if he has to play, if you have to play him for 3 or 4 weeks, that's fine. But for a guy that's been in the league this long, he's only been a starter for 10 plus games, I think 7 times in his career, and he's had a losing record 6 of them. I can't take you seriously. And as good as the Washington defense was, we saw last year that only got them 7 wins. So I think that between the Eagles and Washington, it's right there. I think the Eagles have better lines in some ways. I think they have better option at quarterback. And I think it'll be really close between those two.
You're a little biased when it comes to the Eagles, but you think they could actually win the division.
Yeah, and I honestly, I don't think it's biased. I mean, when you look at this division and the history of the franchise, the Eagles franchise specifically, they always bounce back quickly. I mean, we know how hard it is to repeat in the NFC East. I don't think a team has done it in 14 or 15 years. The Eagles traditionally, when you look at what their over-under is, when people expect them to be bad, they're normally good. Jeffrey Lurie has a great track record when it comes to hiring head coaches. And again, to me, it comes down to Ryan Fitzpatrick. If Washington had done almost anything else at the position, I think that they would be the clear-cut favorite in the division. But I just don't think Fitzpatrick is a viable option at quarterback. So it's a shame that, it is a talented roster. I think the coach is good, but I just don't trust him. So because of that, I'll take the upside of Hurts. And like I said, the Eagles have very good defensive line. I like the Steven Nelson signing. So I think there's a lot more talent on that Eagles roster than people want to admit.
All right, Elliot, we got you on record. You're an Eagles guy. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
No problem. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, could be right. I like he said, start off with the Giants in fourth. Like in my head, I was thinking start off the Eagles in fourth.
I think that's what everyone's probably thinking.
I'm fine with 3-4, either one of those two. That's fine.
Yeah, anything could happen. That means you're one or two.
Anything could happen, obviously, but I would be surprised if the Eagles
won the
division.
Just don't forget that Dak played great before he got hurt, but what was their record?
1-3, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the defense was terrible.
Yeah.
But they went out there and drafted a bunch of guys, signed a bunch of guys. Yeah. They definitely tried to improve it.
Yep. And got a new defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting. Training camp is upon us.
I cannot wait.
We'll give you updates every day. But coming up next, we've been talking a lot about what the Nationals might do. Robert Flores is an MLB Network host. He'll jump on, give us his take on the trade deadline and the Nationals next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow us on the TV side. Going to talk more baseball now. We've spent a lot of time talking about the Nats, the trade deadline, what they might do. Right now, joining us on our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Robert Flores from the MLB Network. What's up, Robert?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, man. Good to hear from you.
Kind of talking about disaster scenarios for the Nationals throughout the show.
I mean, yesterday was a disaster for them.
Not it's necessarily over. The game, but disaster scenario, like we're taking it to the, they'll trade Max Scherzer, then maybe then they're going to lose Trey Turner, kind of going down that road of things. How do you see things unfolding for a team that's now 8.5 back with a couple days before the trade deadline?
Well, the other disaster is Brad Hand is on my fantasy team. He was minus 7 points for me yesterday. So, I thought that the Nationals, I thought they still had one more run in them. It appears that I was wrong. Mm-hmm. So they're open for business, clearly. I think that this trade market and kind of the larger picture is what do the Nats do? Because if they are open for business, which it seems like they are, how wide open are the doors? Is Max Scherzer, is he going to be headed out? The Trey Turner being involved in any kind of trade discussion, that one really surprises me. You know, I know that Juan Soto is going to, whenever his contract is up, figures to really cash in. But the Trey Turner news, his name being involved in any kind of trade speculation, that one really surprised me.
Yeah, I would think that Turner and Soto would be untradeable, untouchable, considering they're the kind of the core of the offense. And Turner's so unique. He's got pop and ridiculous speed. I mean,
Turner is the best player that doesn't get talked about enough nationally. He is a great, great player. And I know that the position is loaded with stars. I mean, Tatis and Correa, but Turner when you talk about those guys, it shouldn't take you that long to then talk about Trey Turner. That's how good he is.
He's unbelievable. And I don't know if you saw it, but Peter Gammons did tweet that the learners are not interested in giving him a long-term deal. And if that's the case, no wonder Rizzo's listening to offers. I mean, Rizzo's job has got to be so hard because the ownership won't give their young core guys these big contracts. They passed on Rendon. They passed on Bryce. Whatever. I mean, you could argue that those were good moves. But, I mean, with the contracts that you're looking at with Strasburg and Corbin, those guys are going to make a combined $60 million next year. Mm-hmm. And Strasburg may not even pitch. Who knows? So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. But you do kind of it's difficult to look at it. I mean, these things don't happen in a vacuum, right? I mean, there's other factors, and you look at the money. You mentioned the money that they owe Strasburg and Corbin. Those guys are instrumental in bringing a world championship to DC back in 2019. Now it's it's almost like, what was it worth it? And I would say, yeah,
of course
it is.
Yeah, of course. Anytime you win a ring, it's worth it. Yeah,
absolutely. So. I think the Strasburg injury and his injury history is certainly troublesome.
Patrick Corbin, you know, for the most part, has had a up and down season so far. But I think that the Nats can do kind of like a rolling rebuild or a soft rebuild. You know, you can trade Max Scherzer, and I think you could get a pretty decent return. And what's not to say that he doesn't re-sign with the Nats next season. Now, I know that the issue of, well, look, if you want Max Scherzer to be traded, you're going to have to give him an extension. But maybe they can have a conversation of like, we want you back, Max. I mean, hopefully if we make this deal, if you agree to it, we still would love to have you back. But I still go back to Trey Turner, man. I think Trey Turner has to be involved in anything, in any kind of rebuild, reimagining, facelift moving forward.
Joined by Robert Flores from the MLB Network. You can watch him co-host MLB Network's MLB Central weekdays at 10 a.m. Plus, MLB Network has the Blue Jays and Red Sox tonight. You know, the amazing thing about it is, Robert, if you go back to June, we were talking about Schwarber hitting home runs every game and the Nationals creeping up in the standings. I think they got it to within two. What were you thinking just a month ago about this team?
Well, look, I picked the Nats to win the division before the season began, and people thought I was crazy. But I like the moves that they made in the offseason. I know Schwarber and Bell got off to slow starts, but Schwarber especially caught fire. But it's the injuries. The Strasburg injury really set them back. We talked about Corbin's struggles because this team is built really on that starting rotation is the foundation of how this team is built. So I think that really has set them back. But I thought that they had one more run in them. But it appears that that's going to be too little too late.
So I watched you guys a little bit yesterday when you're talking about Max and you and DeRosa and Darling, you were throwing it around. How do you guys feel about the potential Max trade? Does it make sense? And then who are some of the teams do you think will really be interested?
It does make sense, but then again, it's all up to what Max Scherzer wants to do. I mean, I think you could make the argument that he has been the best free agent signing when you look in terms of individual and team production in history. I mean, that's how good he has been. So it's up to him to what he wants to do. As far as if he gives the go ahead and says, yeah, I'll go ahead and entertain some trade ideas. Any of the contenders, Max Scherzer has the potential to put them over the top. I suggested the Astros.
I think Boston makes a lot of sense because they don't have that clear number one. Yeah.
Yeah. So if he decides that he wants to, really go down this road of, okay, yeah, let's talk about a trade, then he makes a difference wherever he heads.
Yeah, and I think you can look at names like Hudson, Hand, even though he's sucked the last two games. He's killing you. I know that. You could look at Schwarber. I mean, you're talking about guys who are all free agents. They got about 9 or 10 free agents for next year. So I would think that if teams are interested, they're willing to unload any of these guys. Castro won't be back, obviously, because he's an idiot. But most of these guys are free agents to be.
I think, like you said, they have a lot of assets, and if they really want to get creative and be aggressive, then they could very well hold the key to a handful of different teams and their fortunes of where they ultimately go in the postseason.
All right, so kind of bouncing around here, we got about 72 hours before the deadline. I think Max will go, but give me a couple other names around the league that you think will go, including all the Cubs guys, because Rizzo and Bryant, I don't know about Baez, but I would think they're going to unload.
Yeah, I think Rizzo and Bryant, I would be shocked if they did not get moved. I don't think that – I just have a gut feeling. I don't think Trevor Story gets moved. I think the Rockies would just resign and just say, we'll keep him. Get the draft pick. I think that the Cub pieces are going to be the biggest names to get moved. Bryant, Rizzo, and don't forget Craig Kimbrell. I think he's going to be gone because I think he can really, when you look at the return, I think he's the piece that will be the biggest return that any team gets because he's that valuable, and we obviously know how important getting those last three outs in a playoff game, in a World Series game, how difficult that is. And he's been, for the most part, he looks back. He is back. And I think he's going to be the guy that nets the most significant return for his team.
Getting back to the Max stuff, I didn't mention the Dodgers. I would think the Dodgers might be a little desperate. What are you guys hearing, just because of the Trevor Bauer situation, what are you guys hearing on that? Do you expect Bauer back, or do you think this could be a season-long suspension, technically?
It's difficult to handicap or predict when Bauer gets reinstated. Does he go back to the Dodgers? Just because there's so much still in play from a legal perspective. So until that gets resolved, I don't see how you can make any kind of informed answer, give any clarity until that situation gets worked out. But yeah, it does put the Dodgers in a precarious position, because not only are you dealing with Trevor Bauer's situation, but also Clayton Kershaw is dealing with some health issues. You already lost Dustin May. So they came into the season with a whole lot of depth, especially at the rotation, but now that depth is being put to the test right now.
Yeah, and I would think that the Dodgers are thinking, well, we can't guarantee Bauer's going to be back. We got to go out and get a Max or a Gray or someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I don't think that they would. I would think all options are on the table, especially when it comes to their rotation and adding to it.
You know, just getting back to the Nats here for a second, you know, when you talk about the Cubs and unloading Bryant, amongst others, you expect that to happen. You know, that's been a guy that Nats fans have been eyeing for quite a few years. And I'm like you, I thought the Nats had another run in them, but obviously they don't. This is going to be by far the biggest sell at the deadline ever. But if you get an opportunity to get a Bryant, does that mean we can't try to get him and try to lock him down long term? Like, can they do both? Can they have a massive sale and, oh, by the way, maybe steal a superstar?
It's possible. I mean, you're kind of operating on two tracks at the same time. But if the opportunity presents itself, but at the same time, certainly if you add Chris Bryant, that's a win, and you bring him into your culture, your program, that's great. But if you're saying, and if the reports are believed, that you're not going to or not willing to extend Trey Turner, or you don't see him part of, like, Chris Bryant's a really, really, really good player, but I don't see why you would want to extend him and not Trey Turner. You know what I'm saying?
Makes no sense.
I mean, that's a guy you know. That's a guy that's one of your dudes, right?
I would have said Bryant would be in play if the Nats were, let's say, leading the division and they just needed an extra bat to add to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he would solve issues for you. But the circumstances, just the math from the standings perspective, and also if you're not wanting to make Trey Turner a part of your foundation with a financial commitment, I don't know why you would then want to do that for Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well,
makes sense.
Appreciate the time. What else are you guys going to be talking about on MLB Central today? More trade talk?
Definitely a lot of trade talk. Also, what happened last night between the Cubs and the Reds and Baez and Amir Garrett. We might be offering some suggestions for the Nats moving forward. Mark DeRosa has some ideas on what they can do and how they might look moving forward.
Get into the Trey Turner stuff too, because that's kind of new information.
Yeah, absolutely, because that was definitely something when it was we mentioned it yesterday morning, and we were both surprised that his name would be mentioned, because as I said, I mean, look, you guys know he's a foundational type player, I think. So
yeah,
100%. All right, Robert, appreciate the time, man. Have a good show today.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Watch him.
Thank you.
MLB Network's MLB Central weekdays, 10 a.m.
He's
plus
super
MLB
nice guy.
Network.
Really nice.
They've got the Blue Jays and Red Sox tonight. Hey, fellas, technically speaking, IT complexity, it sucks. But Software AG Government Solutions has the answer. They have a proven track record of modernizing complex and incompatible systems into simple, manageable, scalable IT enterprises. trusted by the U.S. government and technology leaders, Software AG enables mission-critical solutions with the experience, reliability, and urgency that no one else has. Complex IT simplified. Learn more at softwareaggov.com. That's softwareaggov.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Going to hook caller number 10 right now with a pair of tickets to see the Eagles Hotel California Tour August 31st or September 1st at the Capital One Arena. You can visit Ticketmaster.com for more details. That's all courtesy of Live Nation.
So real quick, Olympics, obviously at the forefront because Biles pulled out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't think that's a physical issue, correct? Or they're not specifying?
They initially said it was a mental issue that she was dealing with, and obviously you feel for anybody that's having mental issues.
So they won the silver. The Russians won the gold, correct?
Yeah, they said they were going to reevaluate it, but then later they said it was a medical issue. They're kind of walking it back, so who knows?
Gotcha.
I think mental issue it can be considered a medical issue.
For sure, but they're trying to be less specific about it.
Correct.
Yeah. But real quick, so tonight, I'm pretty sure tonight, let's see, it's nine. What's it, about 11 o'clock over there in Tokyo? 11:43 in Tokyo. Anyway, so Katie Ledecky, who lost in the 400s, the first time she's ever been beaten in an individual Olympic event. She lost the tip miss from Aussie, right? Mm-hmm. It was a great race. But she's going to attempt to do something to, I guess, today or tomorrow. I'm not sure. I get kind of confused on the time.
Sure.
But she's going to swim the 200 final and the 1500 meter final in the same session.
Okay, so not much of a break.
So no man or woman has ever had to do this at the Olympics before, ever. Swim the 200 and the 1500 meter freestyle final on the same day in the same session.
That's some endurance right there.
I saw
and
Michael
the 1500 literally will take about 20 minutes. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, 200 is a sprint, 1500 is not. But to do it in the same session, back to back?
200 is an endurance race.
Well, it is. But I'm saying for her, it's a sprint.
How much is one lap?
25. Well, in our 50. Pool's 25.
It's 50. Yeah.
In the Olympics, it's 50, but in our pool's
right,
25.
Pool's 25.
So the 200 is four times a four-lap sprint.
That's tough, man.
But no other swimmer has ever done that.
She's going to have a hard time. I saw Michael Phelps say that his toughest ask was he had to do two races with 18 minutes in between.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has an hour.
He actually said
it's doable.
It's doable, okay.
But, you know, it's not her forte. Her forte is the longer distance.
Right, right.
So don't get too down
on it. Is she favored to win a medal?
Oh, yeah.
In the 200?
I'm sure she is. I don't know. I'd have to go look. 1,500, she's the overwhelming favorite.
1,500, right. She'll probably win by a minute.
And isn't she racing the 800, too?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, she's the favorite on the 800.
Yeah.
But 1,500, she's the clear-cut favorite. I'd have to go look at the 200. I'm not sure.
But it was pretty cool, I got to say, watching that Jacoby girl, the one from Alaska, win last night. She kind of shocked everyone. 17 years old, you know, in the last 7 or 8 meters or so, she got ahead there and won by a few, you know, tenths of a second.
How many 17-year-olds have won gold for the U.S. in swimming?
I'm not sure, but it was pretty incredible. I think it was
Wasn't there a 13-year-old that won an Olympic medal already?
Skateboarder.
Yeah.
Skateboarder.
Two 13-year-olds, I think, went gold and silver.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very, very cool to see. But what was interesting is
I was watching the ping pong yesterday, table tennis.
They're ridiculous.
The American that was playing the Russian, he lost, but he's 19. He was our best American. They were unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
I saw a little of it. See, he screams. There was one guy that was like kind of like screaming all the time.
The Russian was screaming. I don't know if that was the one you're talking
shout
about.
Shout out to my son's old high school, St. Andrews, right? I'm actually wearing their lacrosse sweatshirt now. They have a girl there who's like second in the country in table tennis.
Hmm.
I mean, this guy was.
I think she travels the world.
This guy hit my prime at 18, and I won a dorm championship.
That's something.
I actually played in like the Open Championship at Maryland, and then it just got smoked.
What were we gonna say, Jason?
The American kid was throwing the ball up probably 15 feet.
Right.
Uh-huh. On the serve. It was incredible. I couldn't believe he could even get the paddle on the ball.
Right.
Yeah. And then the Russian was just ripping backhands right back at him. I mean, they were unbelievable.
All right. So what is my next comment gonna be? You guys know me very well, right? We're talking about table tennis.
Oh, you wanna have a table tennis tournament?
No.
With listeners?
Pickleball. Okay. I'm back on the pickleball. I think we talked about it last week while you were away, Drabby.
I know. You want to go to the place in Chantilly.
Pickleballers. Pickleballers Junks Tournament. Let's go. We'll have some booze. Let's just go. Doubles. Why are you looking at me like it's not fun? It would be butt fun.
For some people.
You would have fun with it.
No,
you would actually
not.
Enjoy it. Jason, I'm telling you, you're going to like, because you don't have to move that much. It's like tennis.
I'm telling you, I probably won't enjoy it. I'm getting muscled into this somehow.
Hold on. I'm telling you.
Why don't we just have an appearance, like a happy hour appearance?
It's just fun. It's just fun.
Well, to you, it's fun. It's not fun to me.
It's fun to like old ladies, too.
I'd rather have, well, they got nothing else going on, old ladies. I'd rather have the ping pong tournament.
Really? Oh, yeah. I'm out on ping pong.
See?
I'm out on ping pong.
See?
I'd rather have a ping pong tournament.
Well, you guys,
that's how I feel about
1970. Pickleball is the hottest sport, especially for 50 and over, but it's well, fire right now.
I haven't seen the last time I saw pickleball was when I was in Hilton Head, and yes, they were all 75 years old.
Yes. No, it is the hottest sport.
I don't see it in my neighborhood.
The hottest sport for the 50 plus set.
They put up in my old neighborhood. They put the pickleball lines on the tennis court, and I guess people have to bring their own net, and take down the tennis net. It makes no sense. Right, because it's a smaller net, or is it the same as a tennis net?
I think it's the same.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Narrower, smaller. It's a smaller court.
But. Yeah, I saw people playing it in the Outer Banks, and they looked like they were close to octogenarians.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an easier thing to do. You transition. Look, you're not Rafael Nadal anymore. I know you guys think you are, but you're not. You know,
I never thought I was Rafael Nadal.
You're not some young stud. Drabby's not going to enter any more pro tennis tournaments. Those days are done.
Well, shouldn't have
when was that? What year
place.
Was that?
2011.
Yeah.
Man, it was 10 years ago.
Wow. Drabby said, I've been playing a lot of tennis lately.
Is that when he got, did he get smoked, think, love and love?
Yeah, of course.
I did. I think we won a game in doubles.
Yeah.
I'm a better doubles player than singles.
It's just he did it as a bit. It's just like we tried out for the Maryland.
Oh no, I don't think he did.
Tried out for the Maryland hoop team, maybe.
No, but he didn't do it as a bit. He did it. He thought, you know what? I'm playing pretty good tennis right now. There's a local tournament. I'm going to sign up for it. And then he realized these were all professionals.
Well, it's not like I played Cece Poss. I played some kid from Dartmouth.
Yeah, but to you, that's Cece Poss.
Cece Poss.
To you, that's Djokovic.
Felt like,
look like
felt like it. Felt like it. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Anyway, you're the pro pickleballer, so make it happen.
Well, like any other thing, I just complain until it happens.
All right, I'll reach out to pickleballers.
Yeah, thank you.
See if they have any interest.
They do.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with Jason.
They do.
Now all of a sudden we got to show up.
Oh, you guys don't have to. I'll do my own appearance. If these guys don't want to do it, I'll do my own. That's fine. Perfectly happy. I don't need them. Maybe I'll get more money. I don't need them. I literally don't need them.
Oh, well, you didn't say that. You didn't say it was going to be a paid appearance.
Well,
yeah, what
first
if it's
of all,
not
I'd have fun.
What if it's not paid?
I'd probably still do it, but I'll organize it for pay. Just do it for just me. I'm psyched. I don't need these guys. If they don't want to do it, fine. They can have their own ping pong.
What day of the week? Like a Saturday?
Pick a day. During the week is probably better.
Pickleball.
I'd rather do it probably during the week.
Yeah, it would be pickleball. That's good.
Yeah.
The pickleball tournament.
Yeah. I have my own. I don't need these donks. 100% do it by myself. I don't even want them anymore. I don't even want them.
You want Valdez and I?
If you'd like. I only want people
is gonna be in our
who want to go.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
Now, Cakes, I know, likes it, so Cakes will probably go.
We're going to hold a competing event an hour before yours. ping pong ballers.
Yeah, do that. You do your own ping pong.
Well, is
thing.
This place, have you... Have you actually talked to them yet?
I've interacted with them via Twitter.
Were they willing to pay appearance fees?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're doing a lot of appearance fee talking. You don't know if that's going to happen.
I actually have had somebody one of our salespeople has talked to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or, well, let's just talk about this off
air. You don't eat it. You don't eat it. You don't like it.
Well, I'm just not a pickleball guy. I mean,
you're out.
You're muscling me into pickleball.
No, I'm not. I actually cut you from the team. So you're out.
I'm cut?
Lurch is out.
Hold on. Designated for assignment?
He's out. Yeah. He's out.
He's shaking to even show up come Thursday's talk to me. Facebook Live.
Yeah.
No, I'll be there.
What's the prize?
I don't know. It's fun.
You got to have a trophy.
You got to have something for the listeners to get involved.
Fun.
You have a trophy. Whoever wins.
You're going to have
a little trophy.
You going to have it catered?
If you want.
I would think that would be easy.
Listen.
You can't be a promoter with no details.
Help me. I'm a big idea guy. I'm a big idea guy.
You're a lazy doer, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. It's worked for me pretty well so far.
Oh. He's getting defensive
now. That's debatable.
Really? Okay.
Well, let's talk about that off air.
You're out. He's not a pickleball guy. He's out. He's team ping pong with JP.
Well, who is a pickleball guy? Have you played?
A few times.
You actually have played?
Correct.
Because when Kate's talking
Chicago,
about it, you act like you didn't know the rules.
The scoring is difficult.
Is it?
It's not like you would think.
Well, how would we score? You don't even know how to score.
The pickleballers will handle it.
And then we want to do the cornhole challenge.
Yeah.
Junkie's cornhole.
I have mild interest
cornhole.
In cornhole.
What's the alliteration on cornhole?
I don't know. I'm more interested
in cornhole classic.
I'm more interested in cornhole than I am ping pong.
I was butt psyched
out on ping pong.
I thought you guys were putting together a home run derby. I was kind of psyched
for the home run derby.
We can have
butt sized for that.
We have 240. Half where the fence is.
Good old Murtaugh. It's like 280, 295, whatever it was.
It's not. No, it's like 260.
What were you going to say? You were going to say something, Jordan.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Jason, for the last 10 minutes, I've been trying to figure out if this swimming is tonight or tomorrow. Or Kate delayed. It's impossible.
It's today.
It's tonight.
I don't know when they're airing it.
They're swimming at 6 a.m. in Tokyo.
I don't know when they're airing it, but it's today.
No. But if it's live tonight here.
Yeah, they're 12 hours ahead,
right?
So if it's at 9 p.m., it's at 10 a.m. Tokyo time.
So if it's at 9 p.m. here, it could be 11 a.m. their time. So that would work.
It might be later because I watched the Jacoby girl at between 9 and 10 p.m.-ish.
Yeah, so if it's on tonight at 9.
Here's the thing. I'm interested. I refuse to watch a five-hour delayed swimming
broadcast. I just DVR it, and I just watch it in the morning. But I think it'll be live tonight our time because it'll be tomorrow morning their time.
All right, I'll tune in.
Yeah. Gotta watch Katie.
You're gonna probably lose the 200, but win her 1500.
She's the overwhelming favorite in the 15. Yeah.
All right, tomorrow we got Mike Rizzo on the show, and we're gonna have a report from Barry Zwerluga from Tokyo. Be Mitch and Finley up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.